Over the next 2 weeks, the Marketplace programs are broadcasting from the Middle East. Next week, this program will be in Dubai. Workers from outside the region power much of the Gulf economy. About a quarter of the people living in Saudi Arabia come from somewhere else. All foreign workers have the same rights in Saudi Arabia, at least when they're alive. But if a non-Muslim dies in that country, and thousands do each year, they're sent home for burial. From Jeddah, Kelly McEvers introduces us to one of the workers responsible for the last long goodbye.
Not long ago, an Egyptian security guard working here in western Saudi Arabia had a heart attack and died. Pretty soon, his life was reduced to a pile of papers. In a small beige office full of old-school typewriters at the back of a shipping warehouse.
Medical report, police report, death certificate.
A pile of papers stacked on the desk of Wahid Khan Habibullah.
And exit paper, we have exit paper and his passport copy.
It's taken 8 days for Mr. Khan to assemble the Egyptian's documents. Now, it's time to check the body.
Do you have to look at the actual body?
Yeah, I had to see whether passport photo is matching or...
You have to check and see if the photo matches the body.
Khan is a foreign worker too, from Bangalore in southern India. He first came to Saudi Arabia in 1997 to perform Hajj, the annual pilgrimage to Mecca. Back then, Khan stayed with his cousin. He liked being close to Mecca so much, his cousin got him a job at a shipping company. At first, Khan handled regular cargo, food and clothes and furniture that wealthy Saudis would ship to their villas on the Riviera. Then, in 2003, a guy at his office left and handed Khan his portfolio. Dead bodies. Now he divides his time between the shipping office and here, the morgue. The drill for Khan is the same every time. Workers carry the body out of the morgue and into a dusty courtyard full of stretchers made of what look like old wooden doors. Khan views the body.
Is this your guy?
Yeah, he's our guy.
Okay, so you have to check now the picture?
Look,
yeah,
this
wow.
Is the face.
Lifts the body into the coffin and drags the coffin to the van. Writes the name of the deceased on the coffin with a Sharpie, locks the coffin, loads the coffin, and drives to the airport.
This is your job.
Yeah, this is our job. We have to do it.
I think it's very sad.
That is what, when we are coming, when we are mourning, the people will be happy. We got a baby boy, a baby girl, or this. When we die, we will close this chapter.
The first time you did you feel some emotion the first time?
Yes. When I handle the first dead body, that is the accident.
A car crash. Khan says the victim was so badly mangled, his eyes were upstairs in his forehead.
And I did not sleep for the 3 days at the night. Whenever I sleep, I'm thinking about him, how he happened, why he happened, or why he drive this so fast.
Khan says he still thinks about his cases, but they don't haunt him anymore.
After 3 days, I got one more dead body to handle. And I became a little bit strong. This is the life we have to do.
These days, Khan handles 10 to 12 cases per month. That's a lot, but it's nothing compared to his main competitor, Muhammad Salim from Pakistan. He's been processing human remains here in Jeddah for 15 years.
Yeah, I'm the famous one in Jeddah. You know?
Salim recently reached a personal record. 60 foreign workers dead in just 1 month.
India,
Lahore,
Pakistan, Bangladesh. This is two going to Manila, I think.
One quarter of Salim's cases are accidents, on the job, on the road. The other three quarters die of natural causes, mostly heart attacks.
To Yemen.
Human rights advocates told me they suspect many foreigners die here because they're subjected to harsh working conditions. But Salim says it's because they eat too much fat, too much chicken skin.
The taste is in the skin. Inside, there's no taste.
Khan disagrees. He says workers die from stress, from being so far away from wives and kids and parents. Khan doesn't have that stress anymore.
And that is a dining hall.
His wife, Sadia, got a visa to come here and teach Hindi and Islamic studies. The Khans live in a two-bedroom flat with their three-year-old daughter, Nabiha. The walls are bare, except for Nabiha's English lessons and framed religious passages.
Yeah, that is also part of the Quran.
In the hallway are the 99 names of God, embossed in golden Arabic. Khan takes me to the sitting room, where his wife can't hear us. Sadia doesn't know her husband handles dead bodies for a living. If she knew, he says, she'd worry too much about his mental health. Besides, in their culture, men don't talk about work with women.
When I feel anything, when I'm sad, she knows about me.
But she doesn't know why you are sad.
She will ask many questions, but I will ignore for everything.
Han makes about $800 a month. He says he doesn't want to get rich handling dead bodies, to work on commission, like his rival, Salim. Instead, Han just hopes someone will do the same for him when he dies.
By God's grace, anything happens to me, so somebody will help me, as well, how I am helping to others.
A couple hours later, Han heads to the airport to check a body that's going out on a midnight flight. He passes through security, signs some papers, and watches as the body rolls through a screening machine on a conveyor belt made of steel wheels.
I will think about him. What is the future of his family? When he was there, he's earning money to get happy with the family and everything. Now, after him, what they will do?
Back at home, Han washes his hands and face, kneels down on a small carpet, and, as he does after every case, asks God to give good things to the dead man's family, wherever they might be.
Our profile was produced by Kelly McEvers in collaboration with Homelands.org. For a slideshow and reporter's notebook, go to marketplace.org.